Listening Dog Media.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
He's one of England's most capped international players.
Seaman is the man here.
He's one of the world's most decorated goalkeepers.
And it was somehow kept out by Seaman. That is a fantastic save.
This is Seaman Says with David Seaman.
And Seaman, what a magnificent save.
Hear him.
Breathtaking.
Like never before.
Hello and welcome back to Seaman Says with me, David Seaman, and Lindsay Hooper. My guest this week won the League Cup 3 years running and is currently the man between the sticks for Watford. Please welcome Ben Foster.
Hi guys.
Here he
Hello.
Is.
Hi.
Yeah.
Here are, nice to see you. Are you all right? Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Good, thanks. Good. I was half expecting to see you on a bike, Ben.
It's there.
Ah, yeah. There it is.
Mate, it's brilliant to have you on. I've been looking forward to this because obviously we did your Fozcast a long time ago and it was brilliant. But
I enjoyed it more than you. I enjoyed it more than you, I guarantee it, mate. The biggest man crush in the world after that. What a guy.
But now it's time for me to ask you the questions.
Love it.
Have you been training today?
Been in training today. It's Tuesday. Tuesday's like early in the week, so it's always a hard session. I actually did a bit of a video this afternoon as well. So a few of the Arsenal ladies came over. We went in the dome and we made a basically them sort of shooting against me kind of thing. Really, it was so good, mate. Honestly, the standard was like outrageous. Honestly, so guys, keep your eyes peeled for that because it is a belter. Honestly, they have got all sorts of ability.
Who had the hardest shot? Because I cover the women's as well for Sky.
Yeah.
Who shot it at you the fiercest?
Okay, so we had Lottie Woman-Moy.
Yeah.
We had Jordan Nobbs and we had Beth Mead. I'm going to say Lottie Woman-Moy, without doubt, has got the hardest shot. Hammer foot, oh, right?
Really?
She doesn't necessarily know where it's going to go, being a centre back.
Yeah.
Usually Rose Ed, but
yeah, exactly. But she can put her foot through. I'll tell you that anyway.
Mm.
Oh. What was it like at the weekend, mate? I know it obviously weren't the best result, but it's Man City, isn't it?
Yeah. It's tough, Dave. Honestly, it's tough. Like I said this to somebody the other day. Actually, but we prepped all week to try and just stay in the game as long as you can, because when you're prepping to play against one of the big boys, You know what it is. You know it's tough, and likelihood is that you're not going to get anything out of the game, but you've got to go there with the game plan. And our game plan was to try and stay in the game as long as we could, frustrate them, similar to what Everton did against Liverpool the other day, actually. Try and do all that kind of stuff, slow it down as much as possible. And then they scored after 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's out the window. But yeah, as a goalkeeper, I've got to say Man City is probably the one place where it worries me a little bit, because I know that if they're on form and they're popping it and we're not at the races, it can get naughty. It can get really silly. I mean, I think it was about 3 years ago. We was actually 5-0 down after 18 minutes. And honestly, that it is scariest feeling.
Yeah.
It says something when you're topping the touch map, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's nice to watch up close and personal because you see it and you think, wow, you guys are like next level, like genuinely next level they are. Yeah. But it strikes fear into your heart because all I kept thinking was, I can see the headlines tomorrow morning, like new record Premier League score or something like that. They are that good, honestly. And if they really wanted to go, even on Saturday, if they really wanted to go for it, they could have gone for it and they could have scored 7, 8, 9 easy.
Well, you don't play for Saints, so it's fine.
I'm just keeping quiet about this one because he's a Southampton fan.
Five's a result, basically. I'm buzzing, man.
I remember playing for Arsenal and we played at Old Trafford and we were 5-1 down at half-time.
Oh.
Mate. We came in and it's the only time that I've ever seen Arsene Wenger lose it. Because at half-time, it was normally no noise at all. You just sat down, you got your drinks, your energy bars and all that, and it was quiet. But he came in and then in his French accent, he went, "This is not acceptable." And honestly, me and Ray Paul have caught each other's eyes and we were like naughty schoolboys because we were like giggling in the corners. And oh my God, he was... That's the only time I've seen him lose. We ended up getting beat, I think, 6-2 or something like that. But
even that, at half-time, at 5-1 down, you're kind of thinking, this could get naughty. Imagine they went and did the same again, 10-2. Like, it's embarrassing
almost.
What does
Roy do in the dressing room at that point? What sort of man is he? How does he react to you guys in the dressing room when you come in with conceding, you know, that many goals? What does he do with you boys?
So, was that to me? Was that to me?
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Sorry, yeah.
I know so David's Saturday, answer.
Yeah. Sorry, so on Saturday, it was 3-1 at half-time. Rodri had just scored that lovely, like, 25-yard, beautiful. Honestly, it was just, even that, like, I'm diving.
Good Mario. Oh, that's lovely.
Hey, honestly, I'm diving, mate, and it's the most token dive you've ever seen in your life. I know it's a goal. As soon as it leaves his foot, I know it's a goal, but... Every goalie will tell you that you have to still go for it just so that a match of the day that night, they don't get to just go, the goalie didn't even move. I have to and dive, and I know I'm not going to get anywhere near it, but it is just one of them things. Three-one at halftime. And in fairness, do you know what? We actually had two or three fairly decent chances in the game. Don't get me wrong, they had 6 or 7 or 8 at that point already. They had scored 3 of them, but we had already had 2 or 3 chances. So the way we came at it was basically, lads, just try and do the same again. Like, the goals that we conceded were kind of self-inflicted to an extent, really sloppy bits here and there. So it was like, go out in the second half and, you know, try and replicate what you've just done. The problem is we get a penalty away within 30 seconds. But at that point, 4-1, they scored their fifth, I think, in the 55th minute. So at 5-1 with half an hour still to go, you're kind of just thinking, just all right, hopefully they'll take their foot off the gas. And to be fair, they did actually. They proper took their foot off the gas.
But you've done City twice, haven't you? And Liverpool twice.
Liverpool twice, yeah.
What's your opinions?
Oh, this is good. do you know what? It's a really good question. And it's I'd say an individual game, if it was for me to play against them, Man City scare me more than Liverpool. However, I think Man City throw so much caution to the wind. They literally just go for it. Honestly, they just go for it. They it's almost like they abandon defending it sometimes because they are so good attacking wise. They don't need to worry about that. They know they're going to score more goals than us, so they just go for it. Liverpool, they just beat you. You know you're going to lose against Liverpool. They just beat you. They're relentless. And so I actually think Liverpool are probably a better team. But Man City, on the day, if they bring their A game, could be anyone in the world.
God, not like that.
It's like choosing between Pepsi and Coke or something. It's like the two big dogs. Like, it's incredible. Yeah.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And you talking about doing that that dive just for the sake of doing it, so you weren't singled out on Match of the Day, made me think about the reverse of this. And I bet you David's done it too. We know that goalkeepers, sometimes there's some theatrics involved because you want that photo.
The old camera save.
Yes. How many times do you guys do that?
Dave, you go. Go on, you go.
I'll go.
Dave doesn't do it all the lot of time. He's not that guy. Dave is the goalie who just did his business and went home, right? He is that guy, I promise you. He'll say he's done it a few times, but I guarantee you.
I loved what you said. You said he was always a 7 out of 10 guaranteed.
Guaranteed. a minimum, I meant. Yeah. Right?
but that's what really annoys me is the camera saves that goalies do. It really does proper annoy me. Easy. Yeah. Most of them they can either get two hands there easy, and sometimes they don't even have to dive, but sometimes they'll push it over and you're thinking, hang on a minute, why are they doing that? You know, they're not very confident.
It's the ones where if it's kind of like in this zone here, but it's about there-ish. It's the one where they arch their back and then they twist and they'll roll. They'll land on the floor and they'll roll. And I'll be the same as you, David. I'm the same as you. Where if I see it, I go, oh, for God's sake, come on. Just sort of just tip it over or something and just stand. You haven't got to do all the rest of it as well.
And who's the main culprit? Who have you seen this season? Who? Come on, name and shame. You've got, come on.
I've seen a few, actually. I've seen England's number one do a couple as well.
Rambo, did Rambo do a few? I mean, our Jordan. They do. Sometimes, like, I can understand it. I think it's nice sometimes that if you can, like, early in the game or something, just to make a save, I think it can get people buzzing a little bit. It gets fans off their seats a little bit. Even at home, the commentator might go, oh, it's a really good save, to be fair. I think there's no problem, like, enjoying your save a bit. It's just the little bit of too much theatrics. That's the bit that made me go, you don't need to do that. You know.
Have you ever had your first afterthought when you've had made, like, a brilliant save and it's been, I bet that photo looks good?
Yeah. Oh, you do them all the time. Like, it's not even the photo looks good. You think, that's going to look good on Match of the Day later. That's what I mean, on the reverse of it, there's so many that I've done where I think, oh, that's going to look so bad on Match of the Day.
It's like when I made my save against Sheffield United, I didn't realise at the time, like, how good. It wasn't until I saw it and I was like, whoa, that was a good save.
That's like, honestly, Dave, can we talk about this, please?
Yeah.
I want to talk about this, Dave, because I still don't think people understand, like, even in training, right? I don't think I've ever made a save that good in training. And training, you will make 4 or 5 or 6 wildies every training session. Yeah, you will do. It's inevitable. You have that many shots at you. You will do. I still don't think I've ever made a save that good, even in training. That's how good it is, honestly.
But it was weird because, like I said, like when sometimes you'll make a quick reaction save and you think, well, that was all right. You know, because this was more of it was a reaction, but it was more athletic as well, you know, because I had to dive back and scoop it out and all that sort
everything.
Of stuff.
It was everything.
Let's face it, that's why Dancing on Ice came calling. They saw that one.
Exactly.
Look how flexible he is.
That balletic movement of the 39-year-old goalkeeper. Speaking of which, Ben.
I was thinking that. I was like, I don't know how to get into that without sounding rude.
But like at 39, what's the biggest difference you've noticed in the art of goalkeeping?
Oh, yeah, good. Okay, so obviously the biggest thing, which I'm sure everybody talks about, you know about, blah, 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 is the playing out from the back. It's without doubt, it's the being almost as good as an outfield player as a goalkeeper. So that is by far the biggest thing. And I think there's levels to it as well, Dave. There's certain teams that I've noticed, right? So Italy in the summer, I noticed Donnarumma doing it. I noticed Ter Stegen doing it for Barcelona as well. And it's this thing where they go through the goalkeeper a lot, they'll always transfer it over. And it's all basically to basically annoy the opposition, to drag them out of position. It might not look like it's doing much, but it does. It just tires them out. It keeps them moving side to side. But what I noticed Italy doing, and what I noticed, what I've noticed Ter Stegen doing a lot, is they play it back to the goalkeeper, and the goalie will wait with the ball so long so that the striker thinks he can come and shut it down and get it. And I've seen them do it where I'm thinking, just do it. You can do it now. Do it now. They don't want that. They want the striker to shut them down, right, and they want to take him out of the game. So it's a number less. So it's a player less. And then they know where to go from there. So as soon as that guy has made that little lunge for it, that means he's not going to get back in time. So everybody else would have pushed up because they'd have seen that thinking, oh, he might get it here. He might get it here. And that's when they hit you. And I watched them do it and I think, that's another level again. Do you know what I mean? That's not just playing out from the back. That's using that as like a bit of a bait, almost baiting them, and then bam, hit them. It's incredible.
So Arsene Wenger, when he first came, one of his main things was, especially with the midfield players, can you receive the ball and take players out of it with one or two touch? You know, as in like, you know where the players are, turn and then take them out of the game. But like you say, he's moved back now to the goal, isn't it?
Yeah, it has. You've got to be so good that you have. You've got to be so, like, we played against Edison on Saturday. Him, for me, I've got to say, is the best. He's the best. He is an absolute, like, you saw against Liverpool a few weeks ago, the one where he's gone to kick it, even though the ball's rolling onto the edge of the line. Yeah. It's literally on the line. Yeah. He's still
that was David's save of the week. That was David's save of the week.
All day long.
Honestly. How cool was he?
But Lindsay doesn't think it should be.
I didn't think it should be. To me, that was not a save. You don't save your own blunder.
It's an incredible piece of goalkeeping, Lindsay. Honestly, it is. To be that calm and that cool in that position, it's just bonkers.
I think Lindsay's issue was it wasn't a save. It was just very good.
Well, it was still really good.
It was him
good.
Being a bit cocky.
Yeah.
I don't even think he's cocky. And honestly, I just think he genuinely just like nothing bothers him. And I think that is probably the biggest skill you can have as a modern day goalkeeper.
Would you and
have
the thing with him as well.
Like a quick Cruyff turn or something like that with a forward coming straight at you like that?
Heck no. I'm kicking it as far as I can.
Exactly. Yeah. I saw Alisson do one, didn't he? He did one the other week.
They're all up to it. Yeah, they're incredible. Like, they're doing all sorts. Like, for me, like I say to some of the young goalkeepers sometimes, if you're not necessarily brilliant with your feet or not comfortable doing it, yeah, for sure, practice it. But the game isn't the time to practice it. The game is to get to basics, is to know what you're good at and stick to that, right? So if you've got to hit it into row Z, if it's like an uncomfortable one, it looks a bit awkward where you just boot it into row Z. I said, they can't score from row Z, you know. They won't score from row Z. Yeah. Gives you a chance to get back in. It gives a chance to your players to get back in. Yeah, I did one against Wolves about a month ago, where I've had a ball play back to me. I've tried to take a touch and then sort of clip it down the line. I've shanked the life out of it, went straight to their player, he scored. But then, I was 38 at the time, I'm 38 years old, I'm experienced and I know this, but still, in the heat of the battle, the heat of the moment, I still think you can play a lovely ball and pick somebody out, stick it out of play. They can't.
I know you would have taken this in good stead, but I know exactly the moment you're talking about. I'm a Wolves fan. Jackie Oatley, she was commentating on that, and then it was loser. Did you hear the commentary over the top?
I hear from the Wolves fans, right? The Wolves fans hate me, right? And I mean hate me. Because I played for West Brom for 7-8 years, right?
So they're
like that. So yeah, the Wolves fans hate me, and I've never ever been in a stadium where I've felt genuinely intimidated by how much they hate me. Like, they don't let up for a second. The second half, I had the whole stadium singing. I can't sing what they were singing because it's filth, honestly. They are singing like Foster, they're constant for the whole game. And I'm thinking, wow, this is crazy.
I've been there. Like, sometimes when you look at like the away fans, or the opposing fans, let's say, and they look like, honestly, they look like they would like seriously do you damage.
Yeah, genuine hate, hatred in their face, Dave. It's like, it's horrible to see. You want to say, calm down, it's only football. Yeah. But like, that's their life. Like, you can understand it. They live for the weekend. They live for that 90 minutes to
your fans
get all that out.
Your fans are pretty good natured. I mean, let's face it, where you are in the league and stuff at the moment. And I was at the Saints match where you boys won.
Yeah.
But the chants from the Watford fans were incredible. Yeah. We got the ball and we took a shot. But you must be shit. We're winning. And
how it must you be? We're winning. No way. Yeah. That's what the shout was. Yeah. And to be fair, we hear all that as well. Like we hear like all those kind of chants, and you sort of take it in good nature. And you kind of, it's almost like, you know, you don't want them to sing that, but you kind of just go, well, you know, we are in a bad position. So it's understandable, at least. Yeah. I will give a special shout out for the Watford fans at that away game, though. They were quality, to be fair.
Like, I was laughing. You know, my boys were losing, but I was laughing. Yeah. I thought they were absolutely bang on.
They were top class. It was a proper wicked day out for them. That is a proper wicked day out of the football for them, to be fair. The weather was banging. We put on, like, we actually put on a show that game. We won the game.
Unfortunately, St Mary's is too good for some away teams to come.
I remember
Let me just say this one about
Southampton. I remember we were warming up with Arsenal, and the two goalies go together and they warm up themselves, you know, at the side of the pitch. And our ball like went into the Southampton fans, and they won't give it us back.
I love it.
So this guy is like, he's quite a big guy, and he stuffed the ball under his jersey, under his Southampton jersey, like that, you know. And I'm like, come on, mate, give it back. And all his mates are giving me the V's and all sorts of stuff, you know, calling me everything. And I was like, come on, and, you know, we can't carry on.
And you're stood there as well. You look like a plonker.
I had the last laugh, then, honestly, because he took the ball out of his jumper, right, and then threw it back at me. And then I went, and now the other one, because he had a proper bat.
Yeah, I like it. But the fans appreciate that. The fans love that, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
They like you to get involved and sort of not take it to heart or take it serious. Try and have a bit of a banter. Because you've got to think, it's like they're coming to watch a show. It's like they want a bit of entertainment. So that, for them, is like gold. They love that.
Yeah. That's why I grew the Tash and ponytail.
having played for West Brom and now being at Watford, Ben, do you think there is this level of football which is above the Championship, below the Premier League? There's a lot of teams that love to do that yo-yoing. West Brom was one of them. Norwich would be in that category as well.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. It's inevitable, though, that I think you'll always get that. But then I think this is where you get the real sort of success stories and stuff like that. Like Brentford, for example, like they get promoted and everybody's expecting them to find it tough. And don't get me wrong, they have, I'm sure, at times found it tough. But then they go on nice little winning streaks. They beat Chelsea 4-1 away and all that kind of, I think that's the beauty of it. And that is why, for me, I don't think you can ever change the way the Premier League is. It's a tried and tested formula. It's an absolute beauty. You know for a fact that the promoted teams, they're going to find it tough. One or two might survive. But look at the way it is now. Like Everton, honestly, they are genuinely staring it in the face right now, genuinely, because Burnley, for me, have got a bit more nous than Everton. They have. They've got a little bit more nous. They've been in this position before. They know how to get themselves safe. And if you'd have said at the beginning of the season, Everton are going to get relegated, it's like, wow, they're a proper club. They're a big boy. Do you know what I mean? That's what makes it so interesting.
Yeah, and there's the possibility of England's number one being in the Championship.
Incredible, Dave. Incredible. Yeah. Like, what happens with Jordan Pickford next season? Do you know what I mean? If they get relegated and Jordan Pickford's playing in the Championship, is somebody going to come and buy David? Like, who needs a goalie? I've looked myself, Dave. Like, not many teams need a goalie. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Not many teams. Only because my contract's up in the summer. That's why. honestly, not many teams need a goalie. Everybody looks pretty set for a goalkeeper.
Yeah,
apart from Saints. So
are you still wanting regular first team, or would you be happy being a second in the Prem?
Oh, good question.
Yeah, it's a good question. I like it. You're the first person to ask me that, actually. I like it. Do you know what? I honestly don't know. I'm at the point where I know, when we were in the Championship last season, I broke my finger and I came out of the team. The goalie that came in, Dan Batman, did really, really well. So I was like the cheerleader for the second half of the season, basically. And it's something that I didn't necessarily enjoy it, but I found I was very good at doing it. Because I'm an older goalkeeper, I understand the stresses and the strains and what he's going through and how much support he actually needs. So I found it really easy to be able to do that and get behind him and support him. So I know that if it came to it next season and somebody, the opportunity to be a first choice goalkeeper wasn't necessarily there, being a second choice would be the next best option. And I know for a fact I'll be able to embrace it and really get behind somebody.
Do you think, though, sort of mentally, though, it would that be like almost like a turning point in your career to go, right, I'm a Premier League goalkeeper at the moment. As soon as I make that decision, if I want to go to a different team, I'll be a number one. But as soon as I make the decision to go to a number two, that's probably irreversible to a certain extent.
Probably. I'd say that's probably at that point is the way where you start going, I can do a year of this. Yeah. I can do a year and then we'll see. So I'll give you an example. So we played Man United. It was probably about 6 weeks ago now, two months ago. And Tom Heaton signed for Manchester United as third choice goalkeeper. And I was talking to him after the game. It finished 0-0, but I was talking to him after the game and I was like, mate, what's happening? Like, are you enjoying it? Like, you enjoying being number three? Because he's always played. Tom has always been a first choice goalkeeper. He's used to playing week in, week out. And he said, sorry, one second. I let me cut. Frank, the chippies downstairs. I've ordered some chips on delivery.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Tom Heaton, he's always been a first-choice goalkeeper, always been number one, always
pushing
playing
for England as well, weren't he?
Exactly. But Dave, honestly, mate, what a goalkeeper. But like, if you're talking in terms of technique, I think he's the best technical goalkeeper I've ever seen in my life. At Man United, I used to watch him and think, wow, mate, you're incredible. Technically, incredible. Really, absolutely incredible. So for him to go and sign for Man United, knowing he's going to be number three goalkeeper, not even on the bench, number three, it was a bit of a thing. And I remember him doing it, and I'm thinking, wow, I don't know how he'd be able to deal with this. So anyway, I saw him, and I was speaking to him. I was like, how are you getting on with it? And he was like, I don't know. He was like, I don't know. It's a bit, I still want to play. And I think Tom's 35 now, and he's like, I still want to play, though. I think I can play. I'm like, for sure you can play. It's a real interesting one. It's whether you can do it for more than a year or not, and then maybe if then I retired, understandable. But I still think I'm good enough to play. I think once you get to a certain age, you understand that your body probably can't quite do what it was doing before. I think you will excel in the mental side of it. And for me, it's the mental side, the biggest part of being a goalkeeper. Your physical attributes might start to decline a little bit. But I still want to play. I enjoy playing on Saturday, and I push myself to try and play still.
But you'll notice that in training as well, you know, where, like what you said about the physical side of it, you know, when it starts really hurting and then it takes you a bit longer to recover. And I remember when I went to Man City, and I was about halfway through the season and I was in goal against Wolves, and I just got this, I was like, what am I doing here? And it was as easy as that. You know, that we talked about it, didn't we?
On the podcast. This is like the most interesting thing. Anybody listening at home, like this, I wanted to talk about this so much to you because like I say, I'm at that age, I'm 39, where I want to know what it feels like when it hits you, when it kind of suddenly dawns on you that you don't want to do this anymore, or you can't do this anymore. Hopefully it won't be, I can't do this anymore. And it'll be, I don't want to do this anymore. And at the minute, I'm still enjoying it. I do. I still strive to push myself to want to stop the ball going in the back of the net and play.
Your standards are still up there, Ben. Your standards are still up there.
I still feel like I'm capable. So as long as I still feel like I'm capable, and like I say, I'm super competitive. So I will always just judge myself on the other goalkeepers. So I will gauge myself and I'll think, is he better than me at that? And in my head, I'm like, no chance, because I'm so competitive. So the day comes when I think, well, he's much better than me and he's much better than me, then I think it might dawn on me a little bit more.
Yeah. It sounds like you're competitive, but also trying to be realistic about it as well, which is probably a healthy thing as well.
Yeah, you've got to be. You have to be. Yeah. You know, so if you can make it to 40 as a professional footballer, regardless of whether you're a goalkeeper or not, it is a massive achievement. It really, absolutely. Really is. It's because like I've had a lot of injuries and stuff like that, but for anybody to do it, it's a massive pat on the back of sort of learning your body, learning what works, how to get yourself ready for a match day on a Saturday. And I think that's the most important part of that longevity is you might not necessarily go out on a Monday and train. Tuesday, you might do a bit, but then once it starts nearing the end of the week, that's when you know you need to be in training, push yourself and really sort of dial in and do a bit of sharper work and all that kind of stuff. That's just learning your body as you get older. And I think for the last probably 5 or 6 years, I've really learned how to do that.
What do you think is the peak sort of age as a goalkeeper when your body meets that point where your mind is reading the game on its kind of on its top, if you know what I mean? Where does the age in the mind go to peak? I guess obviously
can Dave answer that first? I'd like to see Dave, because I know what it was for me. I know when my peak was. I'd love to know when Dave's was.
Yeah, I would say mine was probably around about 32, 34. Yeah.
What was wrong with 33?
I don't know. I might need to have a look back. There might have been a few dodgy mistakes in there. But no, you know, because you've got to this stage where you've got a load of experience, because you know, if you're number one at that sort of time, you've done really well. You've got a load of experience of that, and then you know exactly what you need to go into the game. You like what Ben was saying there, you know, in training you cover everything. But sometimes you'll just think to yourself, I don't feel like doing anything today. And that might be the day before the game. But these thoughts come into your head and you've got to listen to them because...
Trust them, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and you've got to know what... When you feel right, leave it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't keep trying to push, oh, I just do one extra or something. Then you might get a little niggle or something like that. Yeah. But yeah, he's having all that experience and being able to deal with mistakes.
Yeah.
Make a mistake in the first 5 minutes, you can still cope with it. You can still play the rest of your game, especially when you've got to that sort of age. You know? So, well, what would you say?
No, I think it's a different question because you've got to think, like, Dave was playing, like, the top level still. At 30, 37, 38, 39, the top level. We're talking one of the best teams still in not even, like the UK, like, the world. Sort of. So it is a bit different. But for me, I'd say 34, 35. I'd say at 34, 35, I had learned the mental side of the game where I learned to just not care anymore, not care about making a mistake, wasn't worried about anything, knew I was still sharp and physically felt absolutely brilliant and good to go. So 34, 35, yeah, that was, and then that was the peak for me. And then it starts to sort of dwindle, not dwindle, but I'm probably not as strong or as powerful, or even the reflexes might not quite be what they were sort of 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. And the worst thing as well is the balls are getting faster. Honestly, I'm going to coach the goalers at Arsenal. I'm going in this Thursday, actually. And I pick the ball up and I hit it and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. They're like rock hard as well. Yeah. Rock hard.
Yeah,
they do. It's true. Yeah, it's true.
But is there a difference with the yellow one and the summer ball? Because you have the winter ball. I think there's been three balls, hasn't there, this season, Ben?
Yeah, there has. Mm. No, they're all exactly the same ball. It's just a different colour or different pattern on them. The night guy, the night rep who always brings the new balls, and a guy called Rob Mitchell, and he'll always come in when the new balls are due to be sort of put out in like a month or so or whatever. And he'll give them us early to sort of train with and practice. And I'll come in sometimes and I'll like, mate, that's a different ball. And he's like, it's not a different ball. It's the same ball. And I'm like, maybe I've just had bad hands that day or something then. But he's like, no, it's the same ball, literally exactly. Everything is the same, same dimple, same pattern, but it's just the graphic on the top of it that's different.
So one of the last questions, and we'll let you get back to your chips.
Yeah.
Cycling GK, it's been a massive success for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant, mate. Honestly, it's something, it's completely out of the blue. It has, completely out of the blue. I think if you'd have said to me 2 years ago, would you have ever been interested in doing this sort of thing? Or is it something you would want to sort of do after football or even during football? Even a podcast, Dave, like even having a podcast, like, no, it's not even an option. I would not want to do that kind of thing. But I've got to say, mate, it is, it's, I'm a busy person, so I like doing stuff. I like being here, there, and everywhere, and blah, blah, blah. But the cycling GK one thing is making the videos. Like today, like making the video with the Arsenal ladies today.
Yeah.
Guys, you wait till you see this video, right? The standard, right, was a joke, an absolute joke. One of them we did where we did, first of all, we did a two-touch shooting challenge, and then from the edge of the 18, and then the second one was a first touch, basically come onto it, boom, hit it first time, and I'm in the goal. They're hitting corners. I mean, top corners, bottom corners, posting in. And I'm giving it everything.
Giving it everything, right?
I am so tired now. I'm going to go to bed in about half an hour's time after I have my chippy. But like, people have never seen that before. On anything, people have never seen a Premier League goalkeeper man against League women. And they've never seen that. They want to see what the level is like, what the standard is like. And honestly, I opened my eyes today to the point where I went up to the girls afterwards and I went, right, this might sound like I'm being a dick. I said to them, listen, I've never trained with a woman before. I don't know what the standard's like. I don't know what the pace is like. I don't know what you can do, what you can't do. I said, I was genuinely shocked at how hard they can hit it for one. Genuinely, they are mullering it into corners and stuff. And the level of technique and quality was just... it really, really surprised me. I kept saying, guys, you're like incredible. Like the level is so, so high. So, but even stuff like that, from what we're doing, Cycling GK has just exposed us to being able to do that sort of stuff and to show it to people and highlight stuff. And long may it continue, mate. I do. I absolutely buzz off it.
Brilliant. Well, it's been amazing having you on, pal.
Honestly, mate, the pleasure's all mine. Yet again, mate. Dennis, Stephen, what a guy.
Just before you go, need to know if you had anything on your chips.
I've ordered chips. I've got cod. I've got a tandoori naan. Sorry, chicken tikka naan. Plain chicken tikka just with salad, peas, curry, gravy. The lot.
You can eat that, lad.
We don't mess around.
After you've retired, I'd just go and look at your wardrobe, your sizes in your wardrobe, because it can spell danger.
I'll be on the bike. I'll be on the bike. It'll be fine. I have more time on the bike, so I'll be fine.
Love it, mate. Mate, it's been brilliant having you on, pal. Thank you so much.
Pleasure as always.
Good
mate.
Luck.
Thank you.
Good luck for the rest of the season.
Cheers,
mate.
Cheers, Ben. Nice bye. Bye.
This is a Listening Dog Media production.
Sports Social Podcast Network.